Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Bobby Chow.
So today I want to talk to you about prayer from the book of Psalms. Now in Psalms 91, verse 14, the psalmist says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Notice, to those who love the Lord and know his name, God promised that when he call upon me, I will answer him. I will deliver him. I will be with him. I will honor him. You see, knowing the name of God is closely related to prayer. You see, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he began in the Lord's Prayer with these words. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, "In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." You know what? Throughout the Bible, God has revealed himself to us through his name. His name identifies and describes who he is. They reveal his character and his nature so that we can relate to him. We can trust him with faith and courage, especially in tough times like this. You see, God is faithful. His nature is constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself because that is his nature. His nature is constant. So when we know him, we can trust him. And when we can trust him, we can pray with confidence. See, today I want to show you from the book of Psalm chapter 3, a psalm of David and how he cried out to the Lord in tough times. You see, this psalm is often known as the first psalm in many ways. It is the first psalm which contains the word Selah. It is the first psalm written by King David. It is the first psalm of lament, which express deep sorrow and prayer to God for his blessing and intervention. Now, the title of this psalm, chapter 3, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. You see, David wrote this psalm at the lowest point of his life. It was his darkest valley. You see, at that time, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He sinned against God and his people. As a result, his life spiraled down into chaos and his family was breaking apart. David's oldest son, raped the half-sister and eventually he was murdered. His most outstanding son, Absalom, rebelled against him, stole the hearts of all Israel and tried to overthrow his kingdom. David, the anointed of the Lord, was forced to flee Jerusalem with his own son right now in hot pursuit, wanting to kill him. And now he had just crossed over the Jordan to wait out this crisis. And it was here that David wrote Psalm chapter 3. You see, David was facing both a national and a personal tragedy. What do we do when the nation is facing a crisis like a plague, a virus, and people are anxious and afraid? What do we do when personal crisis tear our marriage and our family apart? What do we do when we are surrounded by evil and all kinds of adversities? Well, you know what, church? Psalm chapter 3 teaches us how to respond, how we should pray in times like this. So let's begin. First of all, Psalm 3 teaches us, number one, be honest. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2 says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. You see, David was honest. He was honest before the Lord. He poured out his complaints, his sorrows, and his pains before the Lord. And you know what? God was okay about it. You see, God was not shaken. In fact, our Heavenly Father knows the things that we need even before we ask Him. See, David said, they have increased who trouble. Many are they who rise up. Many are they who say. Notice the word increased, many, many keep appearing. You see, the enemies and problems around him were not going away. Instead, they kept increasing more and more, very much like what we face in our days. Also, you find that there were voices of lies and accusations. Sometimes we call these fake news, right? And those voices say, there is no help for you in God. You see, church, sometimes these voices does more harm to us than actual stones and sticks. You see, we have to be careful with these negative voices because words are more dangerous than swords and guns. They reach further and they hurt deeper. And here David was surrounded by negative voices, accusations, mockery. You see, this noble king has now been mocked by his very own people. Now, one of those guys was by the name of Shimei. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, he recorded, also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. You see, the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Can you imagine? David, the lover of God, the noble man, the man that runs after God's own heart, is now being accused and mocked by the very own people he shepherded. His enemies judged him and rejected him. They are saying, God has forsaken you, David. They have abandoned you. Look, David, you served God your entire life. You trusted him, but now he has left you. But you know what? David did not deny the reality of his trials and tribulations. He faced the situation squarely and honestly. He came before the Lord and poured out his complaints. But in the midst of this tragedy, David called to God. The very first name, Psalm chapter 3, he said, Lord. You see, the word Lord here is in all caps. In Hebrew, it is the name Jehovah. Jehovah means I am who I am. In the midst of his trouble, David knew God as the Alpha and Omega. He did not forget that he is still the first and the last, that God is still the uncreated creator, Jehovah, that by him all things were created, that in heaven, on earth, visible or invisible, he is still Jehovah. I am who I am. By using the name Jehovah, David was saying, he was calling out to the mighty one of Israel, the one who had delivered his forefathers from slavery in Egypt. By calling Jehovah, he is evoking the mighty one who has broken the bondage of darkness and opened the Red Sea, the one who had defeated all the enemies. With him, all things are possible. David called out, Lord, Jehovah. He was entrusting himself in I am who I am, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? God is not just the mighty one who saves. Because the name Jehovah gave us another image in Exodus 34. In Exodus 34, it says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. You know what? When God revealed himself, Jehovah, to Moses in Exodus 34, he revealed himself as the merciful, the gracious, the long-suffering one. Jehovah, when David called to Jehovah, to him, Jehovah is his Abba Father. He understood that even if he is the prodigal son, the one who has squandered all the father's inheritance, David knew that his heavenly Father, Jehovah, is still merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. He will never leave him nor forsake him. Jehovah was David's assurance. He had confidence in the unchanging nature of Jehovah God. Yes, he is the mighty one who saved, but he is still the gracious, the merciful, the long-suffering one, abounding in mercy, abounding in truth. You know what, church? Like David, in times of challenges, we can be honest. We can be honest with our fears and struggles, knowing that God will never reject us, that as we come before him, he will never think anything less about us. He is gracious and merciful. But yet, we can be bold and confident, knowing that the mighty one, he is still I am who I am, the mighty one who saves. Number two, Psalm chapter 3 teaches us you got to be focused. Be focused. You see, David turned his focus on God. Look at verse 3 now. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. Notice, David says, but you, O Lord, but you, O Lord, from complaining, the many, many have risen against me. Initially, his eyes was on the many, but now he's saying, but you, O Lord. You see, initially he was looking at the adversaries and the problems, but now David turned his attention to the Lord. Instead of being distracted by the many troubles around us, church, let us learn to focus and turn our eyes on the one who has the power to deliver us. David prayed, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory. Notice, now he gave us an image of a shield. You see, a shield is an image of protection and security. A shield is an image of protection and security. And then you have this glory. Glory is the word kabod. It's an image of majesty and kingship. In other words, what was David saying? David was saying this, you, O Lord, you are the king who will protect me. You see, in the Old Testament, whenever people wanted protection, they would seek refuge under a powerful king. The king then become their shield, and he would fight for them. Now, this is very much like early days in Singapore. I grew up in a kampong, in a rural village, with my grandparents in the 70s in Singapore. Now, my grandparents owned a retail shop then. Now, in the 70s, gangsters and secret society members would come to the shop to collect protection money. So, if you give the money, they say, I will protect you. You know what? My grandpa would seek refuge with the most powerful one. The most powerful one is the one that he will give money to because he knew that he will have the power to protect him. This is the word shield. You see, the word shield is protection. You come under the refuge of the king. Now, the word shield first appeared in Genesis chapter 15. At a time in Genesis 15, Abraham heard that his nephew Lot was taken captive by four invading kings and their armies. Immediately, Abraham armed his 318 trained servants, and they went in pursuit after these four kings. He and his servants attacked and defeated the four kings and brought back his nephew Lot and all the stolen goods. Now, the question is this. How could one household of servants defeat the mighty military armies of four kings? How could one household defeat the military might of four kings? Well, the answer is in Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. You know what? Because Abraham did not just sought refuge, he did not seek refuge in an earthly king. Abraham sought refuge in Jehovah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jehovah, the most powerful one who rose and fought for Abraham. The Lord is his shield. That means it is his nature. The Lord is shield. That means it is his nature to protect and to fight for us. Church, I want to encourage you. When you seek refuge under the shadow of the Most High, he is not just another king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Shield. He will protect you and fight for you. That is his nature, and his nature cannot change. He has to be constant. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is still fighting for you and protecting you every single day of your life. That is why the psalmist would declare in Psalm 91, verse 1, he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall hide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Notice the psalmist entrust himself, hide himself under this refuge. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. That's why in verse 5, he says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because the Lord says, I am your shield. You see, in the midst of troubles, David was not afraid. Not because he has foreknowledge of what the future is going to be like. Not because of his military might that he has. No, David was confident because he knew the king in whom he has taken refuge. Let's come back to Psalm chapter 3. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 4, David went on. He said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. Now remember, David was forced to flee Jerusalem. What does that mean? See, Jerusalem is the city of God. It is where the presence of God resides. But David was now being forced to leave the presence of God. But yet, away from Jerusalem, he knew that wherever he is, when he cried out to the Lord, God always hears. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. He heard me from his holy hill. Church, I want to encourage you. No matter how far troubles may have drove us from God's presence, No matter how far you may feel that you have left the presence of God, God is always near to those who call upon Him. Nothing that you have done could make Him close the door. David had confidence. He had confidence not because of his own good works. He has confidence because the Lord is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Be focused. First of all, as we pray, be honest. But then number two, be focused. Turn your eye on the one. But you, O Lord. But then number three, the third thing David did was that he trust. How do we pray? Trust. Let's look at verse 5 now. Psalms chapter 3, verse 5. It says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. So notice, what was David doing? He lay down to sleep. You see, again, this lying down to sleep in the midst of his enemies is a demonstration of David's absolute confidence in God. He has confidence that God has heard his prayer and he will deliver him. So you know what? Instead of being anxious, instead of being vexed in his soul, David decided to sleep. Oh, I pray that we can have more nights that we can sleep, because many people have sleepless nights. But when you have confidence in God, you can lie down and you can sleep. Even if you are surrounded by 10,000s of people all around, David says, do not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. Psalms 46 and verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Notice, they hide under the refuge of the Lord of hosts. The ISV translation says, the Lord of hosts, as it translated as the Lord of the heavenly armies. So the Lord of hosts has armies of angels at his command. You see, in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a story about Elisha the prophet. Now, Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Syrian army. In verse 15, it says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God is the God, is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the heavenly armies. When you take refuge in Him, He will command His armies of angels to watch over you, to protect you, and to fight for you as a shield. Now, this image or this way of working did not just happen in the Old Testament. It happens in the New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 12. If you look at verse 6, Peter was in prison. It says here, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. What was Peter doing? Sleeping, just like David. But when he was sleeping, notice it says, bound with two chains between two soldiers, And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Peter was literally surrounded. He was bound not by just one chain, but two chains. There was a soldier sleeping on his left, another sleeping on his right, in prison. At the door, there was a guard that was guarding the door. But look at verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up and said, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. You know what, church? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the Lord of the armies. No number of chains, nor armies of soldiers could stop the Lord from delivering, because he is the Lord of hosts. He will command his angels to fight for us. That is why the psalmist will cry out in Psalm 91. It says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Church, I want to encourage you that when you entrust yourself under the refuge of the Most High, Jehovah, he is not just the one who is mighty to save. He's not just the one who is full of mercy and grace, but he is also the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of angels. Prayer is absolute trust in this God who is our shield and our king, the Lord of the heavenly armies who will protect us and fight for us. David trusted the Lord. How should we pray? Be honest. How should we pray? We got to be focused. How should we pray? Number three, trust. How should we pray? Number four, you got to expect. Expect. Psalm chapter 3, verse 7. Look at verse 7 now. It says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly." Is deliverance possible? Can God deliver us from financial crisis, especially now? With the crisis of the virus, it has impact on the economy. Can God deliver us from financial crisis? Can God deliver us from sickness and disease? Even when many have said there is no help in the Lord. You know what, church? The answer is yes. Yes, why? Because God is still the God who saves. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God." You see, we cannot shift our responsibilities to God. That's the truth. For example, during this time of COVID-19, you have to watch your hygiene. Don't put your hand on your face. Cover your mouth when you cough. Wash your hands. And when you wash your hands with soap. And then sing happy birthday twice. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. 20 seconds. Watch your hygiene. That is our responsibilities. But then, having done all, we also cannot shift God's responsibilities to us. We do our job, but there is his job that he will do. He is the Lord who protects and fights for us. This is his job. We can expect God to do what is consistent to his nature and character. When you pray, expect that God will do whatever is consistent to his nature. He is the shield, our protector, our deliverer. "Arise, O Lord." You know what? When David cried out, "Arise, O Lord," he is saying, "Arise, O Lord, fight for us." This is the prayer which Moses would say whenever the Israelites set out on their journey. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, it says, so it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from you. Now notice, he says, rise up, O Lord, in exclamation mark. It is not a suggestion. It was not a gentle request. It was a shout. A shout that said, attack, O Lord. Make way for your people where there is no way. Arise, rise up, O Lord. And notice, it says, whenever the ark set out, Moses would shout, rise up, O Lord, whenever. That means every time, each time, for how many years? 40 years. Why? Why would Moses have to repeat himself again and again? Well, you know what is it? Is it because God has amnesia and for God to protect his people? Of course not. But then why did Moses have to repeat himself again and again? He repeated the prayer because he wanted to remind himself. He wanted to remind his people that in this journey of life, no matter what we go through, no matter what troubled times we are in, unless the Lord goes ahead of us and fight for us, we will be defeated. But if the Lord arises, we will have salvation. That is why in verse 8, Psalms chapter 3, verse 8, David went on to say, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He is still the God who saves. And then David went on. He said, for your blessing is upon your people, Selah. As I studied this passage, this Psalm chapter 3, in prayer, I was very blessed by the last statement David made. He says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Here we see a David who has been overthrown by his own son. Family fell apart. His kingdom is at the verge of being disappearing. But David was not just concerned about his personal deliverance. He was not just concerned about the security of his kingship. Notice, his prayer was that God's blessing may be upon his people. You see, his prayer was that through the victory that the Lord gives, God's blessing will come upon all his people. David's concern was for the welfare of his people. Remember the promise that God gave to Abraham? See, God gave the blessing of his presence, his protection, and prosperity to Abraham, so that all the families of the earth may be blessed. In Genesis 12, verse 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what? God will save us. But when God saves you, it is so that through you and I, our entire household may be saved, may be blessed. In these difficult times, let us not just look out for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. City Harvest, no matter where you are, no matter where we are, let us keep caring and becoming a blessing to people around us, because our God, He is still Jehovah, the great I Am, the one who saves. He is our shield. He is the one who delivers. Church, I want to encourage you in this season of prayer. Let us keep praying for our loved ones. Let's keep praying for our friends, our colleagues. Let's keep each other in prayer because the Lord hears our prayer and He always draws near to us. So what shall we do when we are surrounded by adversities and troubles? How should we pray? David taught us in Psalm chapter 3, number 1, be honest. Number 2, be focused. Number 3, trust. Number 4, we can expect a miracle from the Lord. You know what? Recently, we have a SOT staff whose grandma was admitted to the hospital. Her condition was critical and needed immediate operation. But due to her age, any operation was risky and uncertain. The doctor said that she may pass on any time in the operating theater. Now, grandma was not a believer. So she was really anxious, worried, in fact, fearful. So our staff had been praying, the SOT staff and praying for Ama. And especially we pray for her salvation. A few weeks ago, during the Chinese New Year, my wife Cindy especially had a burden to want to share the gospel with Ama and also go to the hospital to pray for her. But then due to the outbreak of the COVID-19, there were worries. There were voices that say, is it safe to go to the hospital now? Maybe we should wait until this plague passed. But Alma's condition was critical. So on the second day of Chinese New Year, we decided to go to the hospital to visit Alma. Now, of course, we do our responsibility. We did all we can. The precautionary measure, we use hand sanitizer, we wash our hands with soap, we discipline ourselves not to put our hands to the mouth or to our head, touch our face, we wore a mask, and then we wash our hands, we sing happy birthday twice, right? But due to the hospital's directive, only one of us can visit Ama. So I decided I'll send Cindy. So Cindy went up to the ward while I prayed in the car park. As I sent her, I told Cindy, I said, you go. I encourage her. Be bold. Tell Ama that Jesus will save. If you call on the Lord, He's the Lord who saves. He's the same. He never changes. It is His nature. He cannot deny Himself. And if you can trust Him, if you can call on Him, He will respond. He will come with His mighty deliverance. So I told Cindy, tell Ama that. You know, be bold. So Cindy went into the ward. And for 10 minutes, she just declared Jesus to her. At the end of 10 minutes, she asked Ama, Ama, won't you accept Jesus? Let Jesus be your Savior. And Ama said, yes. So Ama accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know what? Our staff was shocked because Ama was very antagonistic towards Jesus so many years. So we couldn't believe it. So Cindy asked Ama, I said, where's Jesus now? Ama said, Jesus in my heart. So we told our staff, I say, every day when you see Ama, ask her, where is Jesus now? So the next day she asked Ama, Ama, where's Jesus now? I said, Jesus is in my heart. Then the next day she asked, Ama, where's Jesus? Ama said, Jesus is in heaven. Also correct. You know what? Ama went through the operation successfully. Today she's still alive. And Ama recently said, when I'm discharged from the hospital, I want to go to church. You know what, church? God is still alive. In the midst of adversities, troubles, in troubled times, what do we do? Can we be honest? Yes. We can be honest before the Lord, pour our complaints, our heartaches, our pains, our sorrows. Many, many has increased around me. But David says, but you, but then number two, but you, focus, be focused on the Lord, the one who is mighty to save. And then trust in His nature, trust in His faithfulness, trust in the unfailing, unchanging nature of God. And when you do that, then number four, we can expect a miracle. The healing will come, the salvation will come, the miracle will come. Amen. Why not let's come before the Lord even right now. I know that the presence of God is right where you are. Even as you're listening to the message, presence of the Lord is with you. Why not let's call on the name of the Lord together like David? Let's sing this song together and worship Him.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful
You know what, church? I sense in my heart that some of us, you're like David. You're facing tragedies, personal tragedy, challenges, national challenges. It has affected your life. In fact, like David, you feel that you've been driven away from the city of the great King, Jerusalem. You feel so far away from His presence. Every day, all you can see are the many that rise against you, problems that rise up against you. Every day, what you can hear is are only the voices that accuse you, put you down. Even voices that say, God has forsaken you. But today I sense that the Lord is calling out to you. Psalms 3 is for you. Yes, we can be honest. You say, but Pastor, the reality is that I'm in deep trouble. Yes, we can be honest and come before the Lord and pour all our sorrows and complaints. But then, let's turn our eyes, our attention on Him. Focus on the One. His name is Jehovah, the great I Am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our shield. He is the one that will protect us and fight for us. When we are weak and we have no way out, the Lord will fight for us. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the heavenly armies. Angels are ready at His command. If you were to come back and entrust Himself, take refuge under this great King, take refuge under this great Almighty, the most powerful One, there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. He will be your shield. Therefore, he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. I will deliver you. If that's you, wherever you are, you know you're going through thick challenges, won't you just reach out to the Lord wherever you are? For the next few seconds, won't you just pray in tongues and reach out to Him right now? Pray in the Spirit. There is no distance in prayer. David says, I called the Lord and He heard me. Yes, He heard me from His holy hill. This morning, the Lord hears our prayer. This evening, the Lord hears our prayer. Sikiri ala gala bahale ala gala bahandiri ala gala 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 bahale ala gala bahaya. Sikiri ala bala 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 bahaya. Jesus, we call you, Lord. Our God, oh Lord, arise, oh Lord. Save me, oh my God, arise, oh Lord. Sikiri ala gala bahale ala gala bahale. Sukuri ala mali ala gala 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 bahaya.
Jesus.
Church, won't you declare it? Wherever you are, won't you just raise your hands to the Lord? Just reach out to the Lord even right now. Because I'm going to pray, and I know there's no distance in prayer. This morning, I'm going to say a prayer over your life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you as a church, wherever we are. Lord, we know that you are not far. Because whenever your people calls on you, you hear our prayer. You hear our prayers. This morning, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who are sick in your body. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Cancer be healed. Heart disease be healed. Every kidney problem, diabetes, be healed right now. Some of you have pain in your body. Receive the healing power of Jesus wherever you are. Every disease, no virus, no disease will come near our dwelling, because the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our fortress. The Lord is our God in whom we trust. Surely the Lord shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler. Surely the Lord shall deliver us from every pestilence. Some of us, you have challenges in your finances. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters. You are the Lord who provides. We call on you Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You are our shepherd. We shall not be in want. So we do not worry what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, because the Lord knows all these needs that we have. So we cast our eyes on you, Lord. We turn our eyes on you, Father, because you are merciful. You are gracious. You are full of long-suffering. You are abounding in goodness and truth. Lord, show us your salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Show us your deliverance. Show us your mighty power. Show us your miracles, oh God. We call on you. We call on you as a church. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
What a powerful name.
May the Lord watch over you. May He send His angels to charge over you. The Lord of hosts is His name. May angels protect your every way. Father, I commit all my brothers and sisters into your hands. Be so close to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus is so close to us. I know He's right where you are, touching you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what a great presence of God. I know that God hears our prayer. So let's keep praying. We can be honest before the Lord, but be focused. And then we can cry out to God and expect and believe God and trust Him and expect a miracle from Him. So be honest, be focused. Trust and expect. Amen.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.